Hi, sisters. Welcome back. We are continuing to go along in our Gospel of John series, and today we're going to be in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 12, talking about Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And I have to tell you, I kept saying Judaism, or however I was pronouncing it back then for some reason, but it's Judaism. And I was laughing the whole time I was editing this because I'm like, why do I keep saying it like that? But anyways, I digress. So I do know how to say Judaism. Why I was saying it like that, I have no idea. And I just hope that you enjoy this message. This is one of my favorite teachings, this one and the next one, when we really talk about Jesus being our good shepherd and what that really means, especially the next one. Super excited to get with that one out to you guys. So John chapter 10, enjoy. Hi family, welcome to God's Word Transforming Lives. Are you wanting to learn the Bible verse by verse, one letter at a time, with real life application? Then this podcast is for you. My name is Amy, and I have been teaching the Word of God to women for over 15 years now. I came out of some trauma from my childhood, and it left me feeling so empty. And after searching high and low with everything the world had to offer, I always came up short. Until I learned the Word of God for myself. And it was in that I became transformed. So if you would like to be transformed by God's Word, then stick around and let's do this together. Did you know that I have a study guide that I have written, sisters just like you, who really want to know the deeper things of God, who want to understand God's attributes like love, God is truth, God is righteous, He's just. What does it mean that He's omnipresent and omniscient? And what does that mean for you personally? When people talk about Jesus and being justified and sanctified and to be redeemed, and how can you apply it to your daily life? And so many other questions, like, can we really trust the Bible? And who are we as man? Is hell real? These are great questions that we need to know the answers to, as we are walking in our Christ-like faith. To love Him is to know Him. And Jesus said that we will be worshiping Him in spirit and truth. And it is the truth that sets us free. So if you want to go deeper in your walk with God and have more understanding of the things that He has truly done for you and know more of the Word for yourself, I highly recommend this study guide. I will have a link for you in the show notes on where you can get it. It is on Amazon. And it's called Equipping the Saints. I hope this episode blesses you.
So we're going to go right into, now he's going to talk about, he's going to go into another truth teaching. He's going to start out with most assuredly. Does he remember what most assuredly means? That means this, I'm about ready to give you a new truth. I'm about ready to give you a revelation. You better pay attention. I'm about ready to tell you something really important. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is the thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. I read five verses in a row for a reason, because I want to set this up. Jesus is talking to an agricultural society. They understood shepherding. They understood sheep. They understood what he would have been saying in an earthly manner. Remember, Jesus a lot of times will use earthly metaphors or earthly things to speak in spiritual truths, and that's what he's doing here. I want to kind of give you guys a picture of what it meant to be a shepherd back then. Back then, the shepherds would have oversaw a certain amount of flock. They would have taken them out to the pasture. It was a very rocky area. There would have been places where they would have been able to eat and graze the grass, but it was also very dangerous. They were open to predators, like we talked about today at the zoo, like the wolves and the bears and lions and cougars and coyotes, whatever. And so it was very serious for them to go out and watch over these sheep. And so what Jesus is going to set up this metaphor here, he's going to set up, first of all, he's rebuking the Pharisees. He's letting them know that you are not the shepherds of this flock, that you are actually robbers and thieves. You have overseen these flock in an inhonorable way of God. And what would have taken them back to Ezekiel 34. And I'm actually going to take you there tonight. We don't normally do that, but I want you guys to kind of see. You got to remember, when he's speaking to the Pharisees, they knew about a third of the scripture by heart. And it would have reminded them of Ezekiel 34 when God rebukes the false shepherds for how they treated and mistreated the sheep, but then also the messianic promise that God was going to send a good shepherd through the line of David. And Jesus is going to set that up, that I am he. I am that one who was prophesied. So let's look at Ezekiel 34 real quick. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I just want to read a few of the verses. Now keep in mind, God is talking to Israel back here in Ezekiel 34. Jesus is talking to the current Pharisees and the current scribes, the religious leaders of his day as he's standing there. But I also want you guys to understand that this is also for our day. Remember we talked about last week in Jude, the false apostles, the apostates, the false teachers of our day have come as wolves in sheep's clothing. And they are also doing much of these things, as we're going to read about in chapter 34 here. Just going to read a few of these verses. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves and not the shepherds who feed the flock. Should not the shepherds be feeding the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. Today we have that going on. Back then, that's with the Pharisees and the religious leaders. It was all about themselves. It was all about making themselves rich and wealthy and to be worshipped. They didn't care about God's people. They had actually bound up more rules and regulations outside of God's word, that they actually made the Sabbath day a miserable day. The most miserable day of the week was actually the Sabbath, which should have been the day of rest. It ended up being ridiculous. Remember, you couldn't even take like a toothpick. You couldn't lift it up this high. You couldn't put this, you couldn't walk from this room to this room. I mean, just ridiculous stuff that they added. And they put weights on them. They didn't care about the weak. Remember the blind, they excommunicated him from the synagogue while he was still blind, that he was allowed to be a part of it, but he wasn't allowed to come into the temple because they considered him a sinner because he was born blind. So he must have sinned or his parents must have sinned. Just ridiculous things. They didn't care about the poor. They didn't care about the weak. They didn't go running after the lost. They had become an apostate religion of themselves. It was all about themselves. And that's why they couldn't recognize the Messiah when he was there. But with force and cruelty you have ruled over them. You'll know a false teacher a lot of times by the way that they forcefully rule over you. They're controlling, they're manipulative, they get angry when you challenge their what they're teaching. Even if you do it in love, they'll typically get very angry. And how dare you touch God's anointed? How dare you question what I'm teaching or what I'm doing? I've actually had, I've been under in ministries where a pastor has said to me, the laymen have no right to question what the leaders are teaching. And that's not biblical. That's not biblical. That is a false shepherd. That is a false shepherd. So they were scattered because they had no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. When you have a poor shepherd or you have somebody in leadership that's overseeing the sheep and they don't care for the sheep, they're not tending to the sheep, when that shepherd does eventually fall, there's two things here. If he does fall, it scatters the sheep, right? When we see like a pastor or somebody who's no longer believes in Jesus, or he's out there committing adultery or using the women for sexual gratification or just doing it for the money, a lot of times when they do fall or it comes to expose, the sheep end up getting scattered. And once the sheep get church hurt or end up being out of the flock of God, they can love the good shepherd dearly, but they're so church hurt, they're so bitten and so bruised by these poor shepherds that they have a hard time coming back into what we call institutionalized church or being around the body. They've just been hurt so much. And so, you know, they get scattered. And when the sheep start to scatter, you're now opened up to the wolves. You're opened up to false teachers and false apostles and false prophets. You don't have no protection. And so you can easily be deceived. And you also don't have a body that's going to encourage you and lift you up and disciple you and grow you to maturity. So it's very dangerous to be under that type. Also, poor shepherds here, leave the sheep vulnerable by allowing wolves to stay among them, by allowing wolves in sheep's clothing to continue to come into the sheep of God and continue to worship with them, continue to take communion with them, continue to sit beside them in the pews. They never, it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. So inwardly, they are a wolf, but on the outside, they have the sheep's clothing on. What does that mean? And if Tessa was here, she could tell us, because we talked about today at the zoo. They will look just like a sheep. They will act just like a sheep. They will talk just like a sheep, because anyone can do that for 2 hours on a Sunday. But as soon as they leave the sheepfold, as soon as they go back out in the world, they look, act, and live just like the world. These are, you know, can be, in 2 Timothy it talks about men who go and go into women's homes who are gullible. They don't know the word. Maybe they don't have a good elder over them, and they use them for sex. That's what these wolves in sheep's clothing do, right? Women, same concept, manipulative, divisive, just looking for a husband, whatever their motive may be. Maybe it's just to have the title or the leadership, you know, just to feel like I'm a part of something. But we are vulnerable as sheep when we don't have good shepherds overseeing us and understanding that we wolves among us will bite us, they devour us, they harm us, they will bring in destruction. A little leaven spoils the whole lump. A good shepherd will oversee the flock of the sheep. Always protect the sheep above the wolves. And wolves are very cunning. They're usually very kind. They're usually very nice. And they can play church very well. Right, Amanda? And so they'll be scattered. And God's rebuking them for this. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching after them. Therefore, your shepherds hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. A good shepherd will go after the sheep when they leave. They'll leave the 99. They'll leave the 99 and go after the one. Now you're not gonna be able. Now if it's a goat or it's a wolf, they're not gonna want to come back, right? But as a good shepherd or a good overseer, you're gonna at least go and try to tend to that soul. You know, got a lot of immature people that come into the church, brand new babies. They got stinky diapers. They get easily offended, right? And so it is an overseer's job to oversee them and to try to help gird them up into maturity. We're going to stop there, and then I'm just going to go right over to verse 22, where, and you guys can study out Ezekiel 34 more later. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. Now, he's not talking about actual King David, because this was written long after that. He's talking about the Messiah, the Messianic line, that he is going to send the good shepherd. That's Jesus. And so Jesus would have been, they would have had this forefront. First, he's rebuking them that you guys are just like Ezekiel 34. You guys are thieves and you're robbers. So we're going to go back to chapter 10 here. So most assuredly, the shepherds go out and they take their sheep out into the field and they watch over their sheep. Well, if they want to come in at night and they're ready to eat, and they don't always come in every single night, but if they decide to come in inside the city or sometimes out in the country, there is what we call a sheepfold. And it's where several shepherds will bring in their flocks. And they'll come into this little gated area, almost like a kennel, okay? And they'll bring in their flock. And so that's what we're going to talk about here. This is why, and I want you guys to really get this visual. So coming in, say we have five shepherds coming in. They've all got different flocks that belong to them. They're all coming in at the same time. They're going to be putting their sheep into this one sheepfold to keep them safe at night while they go and refill through sleep and food. Get themselves filled back up with sleep, get themselves filled back up with food. And so they're going to come in. Now, before the sheep actually enter into this particular sheepfold, every shepherd will take his rod and he'll inspect the sheep. He'll pull back the wool. Sheep have very thick wool. And so they can be infected and you don't even know it. Right? And also, the sheep tend to go to the bathroom, and because they have so much wool in the back, they can end up getting plugged up very easily and getting very sick and toxic, because the shepherd needs to be cleaning out the bum area. Okay? We actually have, sometimes bulldogs, they have what we call a circular tail, and sometimes we have to take gloves and get our fingers and go up inside and clean out, or it'll get infected. Okay? You got to clean the anal glands. And so, they have to really, but a shepherd has to really know his sheep. A true good shepherd isn't up in the front always speaking to the sheep. He's sitting with the sheep. He's getting close to the sheep. He's inspecting, getting up. Because when you're in church for 2 hours, let me tell you, y'all can smell good, y'all can look good, and y'all can speak it really well. So how are we going to know if one of the sheep are infected with sin or there's something going on in their life? Guess what? You've got to get close to the shepherd. You're going to... The shepherd, you have to get close to the shepherd too, because we're going to talk about that. But the pastors or elders need to get close to the sheep. They need to get close to the people who God has given them and to disciple and to watch over their souls and to make sure that they're doing okay. That's why we're so kind of in your guys' life on a daily basis like we are. It takes a lot of time and a lot of energy, but you know what? Is there something going on? Something going on, Autumn? Something's not right. You know, I've just noticed you're a little off. I can smell a little infection going on there. What can I pray for? What's going on? You know, we stay close. If we're always over here, just, oh, look at us, come and listen to our Bible study, and then we don't have anything to do with you for 2 more weeks, how are we going to know? We got to get intimate. We got to be in each other's lives. We got to know each other intimately. Not only is that protecting from the wolves, because I'm going to get really close to the wolves too. Oh, you don't smell like a sheep. You may look like a sheep, but you don't smell like it. We've had wolves come in. We've had men come to this ministry to specifically to come after some of you women. I'm not kidding. And you know what? They never came back. Because Steve and I made it very clear, sexual immorality is not going to abound here, and you're not going to come after our girls. And they don't come back. Because we're here to protect. We're here to protect. Same with women. If Jezebels walk through this door, they have no intention of being saved or getting saved, then... guess what? You're not going to come after our men. So, but we got to get close. You got to be close. So anyways, so here's Jesus. He said, most certainly, I said, so he checks each one and then they bring them into the sheepfold. So I want you to picture the sheepfold. They have a doorkeeper who's watching over while the shepherds all go sleep and get fed. All these sheep come in. They've all been intimately checked by the shepherd to make sure there's no infection, make sure they're all cleaned out, make sure they're all good. They know their sheep very well. They know every little dot on them. They know every little thing. So they know when there's something off and they know it's their sheep. And so so they're all in the sheepfold. So when Jesus says here, most certainly I say to you, he who does not enter through the sheepfold by the door. The sheepfold here literally means Judaism, because Jesus is going to call them out of the sheepfold. So right now he's speaking of the religion of Judaism, and we're going to back that up here as we go further. Most so I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold, that's Judaism, by the door, but climbs up some other way. These false shepherds are false. They're not true shepherds. They're not who God has ordained over them, because they are robbers and they are thieves and they are not treating the sheep properly. He's saying who comes by the door? Jesus is going to show you, I am the door. I fulfilled every prophecy, every messianic prophecy of the Old Testament. I am the one ordained by God the Father. I am the true good shepherd. And he's going to show us in a few more verses, he's the door. He's the way to salvation. He's going to take care of his sheep that he called from the foundation of the earth. Let's look at that. By the door, he climbs up some other way, and the same thief and robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He who enters in through the prophecies of the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament, he's the true shepherd. And Jesus is the only one to have ever fulfilled all the prophecies. They had false Christ that came before Jesus and even after Jesus trying to say that they are the Messiah, that they're the true Christ. They were antichrist. They didn't fulfill any of the prophecies, and they were not the true Christ. He's the true Christ. We even have false messiahs today. And who's going to be the ultimate deceiver in the end times? The one true antichrist, right? And he's going to try to slaughter the sheep, and he's going to kill a lot of sheep in that time. But he doesn't kill us. He just gives us new address. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So the next day, or whenever the shepherds are ready to go back to the pasture, they're going to come to the doorkeeper. There's a guy there. Now that guy knows the shepherds. He knows. So when Bob comes to the door, Bob's going to knock on the door and say, I'm here for my sheep. And he's going to say, yeah, okay, I know Bob. I know you. Okay, go ahead. This is all a shepherd does. Now, Stephanie's going to laugh at me. When you have a dog or an animal, they know your voice. Your every voice pattern is very different. They know your voice. They trust you. They know you. And Steph will be on the phone with me. And one of the calls that I have for my dog, we have four. You have more than two dogs, you've got a pack. You got a pack of dogs. And they'll start acting like pack. And so you almost have to treat them like these sheep, and they'll try to run off of me on the phone, and I'll be like, bop, bop, bop. And she'll be like, oh my gosh, she's bop, bop, bopping. But when they hear me say that, bop, 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 they know you're in danger. Stop right where you're at, because they'll be all three running full tilt. Like,
you also
after
make fun of my flock call. I'm just
yeah. So we have like our own little flock calls, right? Or we have our own little things, and you know, all these sheep had their own name. Do you know shepherds named them Blackie, Spotty, Gimpy, whatever? They had names. You know, Jesus has a name for us. From the foundation of the earth, He knew our name. We were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and so He's going to set this up. And this is what He's setting up here. So He's saying, when the good shepherd, when a shepherd, the true shepherd comes to the doorkeeper understands who he is, opens up the door, and all the shepherd has to do is go, bop, 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 or have, what's your call?
What's chick, your chick, chick,
chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, chick, because she's doing chickens. Or wait, do you have a call for Abel?
No.
No, you don't. Do you have like pet names? Like if he hears like a certain voice, he knows, come on.
Shark,
you know, and so you'll have like that voice. It's like, okay, they know to come. And so He would have that specific voice. And it's funny, there's all these sheep that belong to all these different shepherds, and not one of them move. Only the ones that belong to that shepherd start moving towards the door to come and follow the shepherd. And it's beautiful. And Jesus is setting this up here. And when He brings out His own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. They know His voice. Notice here, they follow Him. Our good shepherd leads by example. And an under shepherd would be somebody who's an elder. They're an under shepherd. They're overseeing the flock of God's until the good shepherd returns for His flock. They too will lead by example. A lot of people can preach it really good. They can really preach it. We got some great charismatic preachers and teachers out there. And they might. But are they leading by example? What's their life like after the 2 hours on Sunday? Do they really have what you want? Are they really leading the people by example? And Jesus is here, He's saying, they follow me. He doesn't have to beat them. He doesn't have to use His rod. Matter of fact, the Eastern shepherds, they literally lead by example. They say Western shepherds actually will use sheepdogs and rods. But Eastern shepherds, they do not. They just have their voice. They will follow. They only have to use the rod when the sheep continues to be disobedient. And they'll break their legs and put them over to hold them up to their heartbeat, so they'll know the shepherd's voice really well and know their heartbeat really well, and they'll never leave that shepherd again. They'll stay right next to that shepherd for the rest of that sheep's life. And the shepherd does that in order to protect the sheep from all the predators out there. So some of you rebellious people, some of you little rebellious sheep sitting in this room, don't make God break your legs.
Are you calling me rebellious?
I didn't say it, Mom.
I'm like tearing up because we're all laughing, but I'm like, no, He'll break your legs.
No, you know, and it's because He loves you. He wants to bring you next to His heartbeat. He wants to protect you. And so, but don't make Him do that. The shepherd isn't out there looking to break your legs. We make Him break our legs because we keep wandering off. We keep getting in danger. We keep going and playing with the wolves and playing with the bears and then getting hurt and wondering why we're all bruised up and depressed and anxious and panic attacks and oh my gosh, and I don't know. And everything's falling apart. Dog don't love me no more.
To do it, like, though it hurts so much to have your legs broken, there's really no place once you've had your legs broken that you'd rather be than at that at Father's.
Yeah.
To hear His voice, to just be there with Him and let Him restoring you.
Right.
We joke about it, but it is to be taken as a warning. That's talking to someone rebellious where it was like everything had to keep happening, where I'm like, God, am I really that ridiculous that all this has to keep coming?
Yeah.
That it has to keep coming, but you know, it's how we respond to it.
God had to break my legs. A lot of times it's your wilderness experience or your dark soul night. We talked about that a while back. And a true person who's called by God, a lot of times we'll have to go through that. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the stranger's voice. This is very comforting. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. We know the voice of our Savior. And Steve and I worry a lot. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be real honest. God's been dealing with me, even with me here, because I worry about you guys a lot. I do. I worry a lot. I worry about false teachers. I worry about the false prophets. I worry because I know how many are out there, and there's more of them than there is of us anymore. And so, you know, I'm always like, oh, Lord, you know, are they going to open up that YouTube video? Are they going to open? I know I talk about the YouTube videos a lot, but that's because there's so many out there. And I get really worried, but something God has really been showing me, although I'll still be, you know, Steve and I are still very serious about overseeing and giving you guys truth teachings or whatnot. But God showed me through this teaching, he has dealt with me on stop worrying. They know my voice. I'm not going to let them go. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I'm not going to let them go. If you're truly regenerated here tonight, you're truly his. Even if a false teacher tries to snare you up, God's going to pull you back. Mm-hmm. Now, as overseers, we do need to be, that we are put here to help kind of oversee and watch over and be like, hey, you may not want to, you know what I mean? That might want to check that one a little bit. You might want to check that teacher a little bit. I'd be careful. Careful what you're doing. Right? We caution, but at the same time, we caution, but we don't hold tight. You've got a good shepherd. And he promises that his sheep hear his voice. And you're going to follow him. And so even when the wolves try to come, a true regenerated person's not going to follow after. Or if you do get ensnared for a second, you're not going to stay long. Because he's going to grab his staff and he's going to pull you right back. So it's kind of helped me not to worry so much because I worry a lot. I lose sleep over it. And so does Steve, believe it or not. We pray a lot for you guys because I know what it's like to not have good, solid overseers and elders in my life and how far astray and how hard my walk had to be through all those years not having that, you know, and having very poor shepherds or false shepherds over my life speaking false things and keeping me in a false religion. Of course, God's sovereign, but I move on. So verse 6, Jesus used this as an illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. And then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, here we are, I'm going to give you another truth teaching, pay attention. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find the pasture. And so, a couple little things here. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's saying, I am the only way to eternity. I am the only way for salvation. All those liars that came before me that said that they were the way were not the way, and the sheep didn't hear them and didn't follow them. My true sheep did not go after them. Now, they have a following. Don't get it twisted. False teachers always have a following, or they wouldn't be able to do what they do, right? But they're not God's sheep. They're not God's sheep. Because if they are, or if they are chosen, they'll eventually come out from underneath it. He'll call them out. And so we do need to have compassion because some are just in the deceived. And so Jude had talked to us about that. But he's saying, I'm the door of the sheep. Two different things here. He's the door. He's the way, the truth, and life. He's the only way to salvation. Okay, that's one. But also, when the shepherds would stay out at night into the country land with their sheep, they decided not to come back in and put them in a sheepfold. They would find like a cave or something for him and his sheep to go into the cave to be protected overnight, because that's when the predators would get really bad, right? And but what he would do is he'd put them in the cave, but then he would sleep at the door. And so if a wolf or a bear would try to smell the sheep and try to come in, he'd have to go over the shepherd before he could get to the sheep. And let me tell you, there's protection there, you guys. Our good shepherd, Jesus, he's protecting you from the wolves. He's going to protect you from the false teachers. He's also going to protect you from the persecutors. Even if he allows them to take you in a martyr, you're going into eternity with Jesus forever. No one's going to snatch you out of his hand. I think, and I love this because I believe it teaches eternal assurance. My good shepherd says, I know his voice. He'll never leave me or forsake me. If he started a good work in me, he's going to complete it. And if he's the doorkeeper of my soul, then nothing, including myself, is going to be able to take that from me. Amen. Nothing's going to get over the good shepherd to snatch me out of his hand. Right? And remember in John chapter 6 when Jesus talked about the Father draws them, and Jesus does not deny any that are drawn. And he actually says it's God's will that he lose not one. And Jesus isn't a sinner, so he's not going to go against God's will. And a good shepherd, you guys, they don't lose the sheep. King David took a sheep out of the wolf's actual mouth in order to save the sheep. And he was considered the best shepherd of all of Israel. Still to this day, when Jesus was speaking, they still thought of King David as the best shepherd ever. How much better is Jesus? we get caught up or entangled in something, if you're truly his, you're truly regenerated here tonight, you're telling me my good shepherd's not that good that he can't keep me? He can't protect me? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't see it. I don't see it. I believe that's eternal assurance. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and if anyone enters me, he will be saved and will go on in and out and find that good pasture. What does it mean to be a sheep of God? What does that look like here? I'm just going to read a couple verses in Psalm 23. Oh, we all know it. We all hear it at every single funeral. But this is what he's talking about here. I'm the good shepherd. You're now no longer in the slave market of sin. You're no longer in that market where Satan is your father. You're now with the good shepherd. If he's called you out of paganism, he's called you out of sin and brought you into the light here tonight, then you now have a good shepherd. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, and he restores my soul. Who here's soul was a hot mess before salvation? Who had depression and anxiety and panic attacks and drugs and alcohol and sex and anger and wrath? And oh, it was heavy, wasn't it? Sin's heavy. Oh, it feels good for a second, but it's heavy. He restores our soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That rod that disciplines us, and that staff that keeps us close to him. And you can read that on your own later. But he's saying, I'm that good shepherd. Verse 10, the thief does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Not only were the Pharisees there to kill, steal, and destroy in the earthly realm of shepherding, the wolves and the bears and the cougars were there to kill, steal, and destroy. The robbers would try to climb over the wall in the sheepfold, and the sheep didn't know their voice. So they would start screaming, so they'd instantly just slaughter, they just slit their neck and then just throw the carcass over the wall, and then they'd steal the wool and eat the sheep. They didn't care about those sheep. They could care less about them. They were just in it for what they could get from the sheep. Those are false teachers and false prophets. They're just in it for what you can do for them. He says, but I came that you would have life more abundantly. Oh, the Word of Faith movement loves to quote this. Life more abundantly. Woohoo! Give me that Mercedes. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about salvation. Satan is like a prowling lion seeking whom he devour. When you're in his kingdom, when you're in Satan's grip, when you're in his slave market, we talk about that. Man, you're just a puppet, for Satan is a puppet master, and he's just out to kill, steal, and destroy your life. But when Christ, when the good shepherd calls you out, you heard his voice because you were called when? The foundation of the earth. So on the day of salvation, that moment of salvation, the good shepherd called your name, Amanda. He said, Amanda, and because you were chosen, you followed him. And now you have life more abundantly. Now you have joy and peace in persecution. You have joy and you have peace in the trials and the tribulations. You now have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and kindness and faithfulness and goodness and self-control. You have something you didn't have when you were in the slave market of sin. That's the abundant life. Ultimately, the ultimate abundant life is eternity with our good shepherd forever. But here on earth, there's that abundant life of joy and peace while we're waiting for him to return to us and gather us up. He goes on to say, I am the good shepherd. This is one of the seven I am statements where he uses that same language, is I am God. I am who I am. Remember, we have that pinned. It's in the hashtag Be the Church files if you want to look at it. This is one of the seven I am's. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now he's talking about his crucifixion here. He's about to give his life for us. He's about to lay his life down. When he uses this word life here, it literally means all of himself, his very being. He's going to lay down every aspect of his being for you and I, for the called ones, for the chosen, for the elect, for those whom he has foreknew from the foundation of the earth. And that's what a good shepherd does. He lays his life down for the sheep. It's a very dangerous, dangerous occupation to be a shepherd. You're going to fight wolves and bears. And we looked at wolves and bears today. We looked at lions today. I wouldn't want to try to wrestle one down for a sheep, but they do. And another thing is the shepherd has to actually prove that if they do lose a sheep on the job, they have to bring back some of the carcass and prove that it was not neglect that did it, because they could lose their life. You've got to prove that you didn't just give a sheep away to somebody because, you know, here, you can just have one of these. You got to prove that you tried to lay your life down for that sheep, that you took it seriously, that you did everything you could to save that sheep. That's a good shepherd. But a hireling, he is not the shepherd. One who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. These are people that are just in it for the money. Like the Pharisees, they were just in it for the money. They were just in it to be worshipped. They were just in it because, oh, look at me. Look at my phylacteries. Look at us. Look how high up we are. Look at my title. They're just in it for themselves. There's a lot of false teachers out there today that have learned how to peddle the word of God and make a good living off of it. Now, we do take good care of our good elders and our good our under-shepherds, absolutely, and we should, but we need to discern who's true and who's not, and you'll know them by their fruit. The hireling flees because he's hireling, and he doesn't care about the sheep. Hireling means a hired hand. It'd be like if I brought somebody in to watch my bulldogs. They're not going to go in the middle of the street and try to save my dog if it goes running in the middle of the street. I will, instinctively. I love my dog. I'm going to run, not even thinking. I'm going to run into the middle of the street to try to save the dog. If I hired somebody to come in and watch my dogs, they're just going to stop and go, that sucks. Because they don't have that emotional attachment like I do. And how much more does Christ have for us? The hireling flees because the hireling does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and they are known by, and I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. When he uses this word know here, he's using that word as an intimacy. He knows us intimately. He knows us inside and out. And remember what Jesus said, if you love me, if you're my disciple, you will abide in me. See, we're not only to, he already knows us. He knows every hair on our head. They're counted. But see, we need to know him. We need to abide in Christ in our walk. How do we do that? We abide in the word. How do we get to know our good shepherd intimately and deeply? By being in the word of God, because Jesus is the word. There's protection there with that. The closer you are to the good shepherd, the less likely you are to be deceived, right? The false teachers and false prophets are going to have a harder time deceiving you. Your life will be more full of joy and more peace because you're right next to the heartbeat of the shepherd. When we start to stray away, we don't get in our word, we're not in prayer, we're not in worship, you're ripe for the devil. Not that he can take your salvation, but he's just going to bring in friends, and he's just going to cause chaos, and the locusts come in, and, you know, and just all kinds of havoc starts to come in. But when you're close to the shepherd, he protects us from those things, protects us from the things of the world. When we pay attention to what we don't put our eyes on anymore, don't put your eyes on that pornography, don't put your eyes on the inappropriate TV programs, stop putting your eyes on, stop listening to that ungodly music, that stuff, it keeps you further from the shepherd. Mm-hmm. Keeps you further from the shepherd. Abide in him. He knows you. But we also need to know him in a deeper and more intimate way. It keeps us protected. We're going to go on next week. That's as far as I can get today for time-wise. Because next week we're going to talk about, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. I want you guys to know, also kind of see here too, God is, in the Old Testament, God refers to himself as the shepherd of the flock throughout the Old Testament. It's a very common theme throughout the Old Testament. Jesus is saying, I am the shepherd of the flock. I want you to see Jesus' deity once again. God the Father, God the Son. And Jesus is going to back that up here this next time around by he's saying, because me and the Father are one. We're one. It's a beautiful depiction of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and also Jesus' deity. He is not just the Messiah, he's also God, because only God can be the good shepherd of the flock. Also, when he calls them out of Judaism, he's calling them out of there. He's also calling us out of to be Gentiles or paganism, and it's one new flock. We're now sheep of one pasture together. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, right? We're one new man under the good shepherd of Jesus. We're all brothers and sisters now. And we need to act like brothers and sisters. Yeah, we might be a little dysfunctional, but we're brothers and we're sisters in Christ, and we need to love each other like that. We are a family that has been chosen out by the good shepherd. And so it's really important that we are loving one another, that we're helping one another, that we're being there for one another, more so than even your physical family. Because we are a new family of God. Now, still love your parents and take care of them. So I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying take serious the fact that God called you out, put you in his pasture. And if you're regenerated here tonight, we're of this smaller pasture. We're of the great big pasture, but we're of this little smaller pasture where he's the good shepherd. You have some overseers that are just kind of watching off your soul, making sure nothing kind of crazy happens, right? But we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to love one another, check on one another, pray for one another, make sure we're there to help one another as we're in need. And if you have a need, tell us. We can't help you unless you tell us. God sometimes will tell us, but not always. So you have to be able to say, hey, I'm struggling. I have a need. Can someone help me? And we will. We will come alongside you. If you're not saved here tonight, you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, you have not heard that call, maybe he's calling you tonight. Come out of the slave market of sin. Come out from underneath the dysfunction and the craziness of Satan, and come into the good pasture where there's an abundant life. Stop being killed, stilled, and destroyed. Repent of your sins. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. You're a holy God. I don't want to stand before you on Judgment Day not knowing you. I want to know you as Lord and Savior. And repent. We're going to go into some worship, and you can lay down at the altar and repent. And just give your life to Christ tonight. Ask him to come in and become one with you and to give you the seal of the Holy Spirit. Ask him to make you a part of his pasture where it says we'll have the abundant life. Abundant life. He'll transform you. It's supernatural. That's all I can tell you. It's supernatural. Praise God. Okay, so thanks for everybody who watched. God bless you all. Love you.
Thank you, Lord, that you are our good shepherd and that you lead us and guide us and protect us. And we are so blessed to have you as our good shepherd. And we thank you, Lord, and we want to honor you. We want to obey you. We want to stay close to you. And so, Lord, just continue to guide our hearts. Guide our hearts in your word. Guide our hearts in your in prayer and in worship and with one another. Lord, help us to just not waste this beautiful salvation in which you've given us. Help us to use our time, talent, and treasure to bring honor and glory to you in all the days of our lives. Whether we are at home raising up beautiful children in your ways, whether we're honoring our husbands, whether we're being a good neighbor to our neighbors, our co-workers, Father, whether we're out, you know, giving the beautiful good news to lost and dying souls, Father, whatever it is you have us to do, let us do it with excellence and for your glory. Thank you, Lord. Be with my sisters. Touch them with your everlasting loving peace and comfort and joy. Until next time, sisters, God bless you. Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If it has blessed you in any way, would you give me 30 seconds and share it with a friend of yours? One more small little favor, if you would. Head over to whatever podcast source you're listening to this on and give me a 5-star review. That would be so great. It helps get the episodes out there to other people who may be wanting to learn God's Word. Again, don't forget, guys, until next time, it is a crockpot faith, not a microwave. With God's Word, discipleship, and patience, you too will be transformed for His good work. Grace and peace I leave with you until next time.